Who do you trust? Who do you rely on? How about the person sitting to your left or to your right? Take a good look at them. Do they look trustworthy? Are they reliable? Do they make good restaurant recommendations? Can they keep a secret? Would you let them pick out a new outfit for you? Would you trust them to reinvest your retirement savings? How about filling a cavity or extracting a tooth? Most of our trust in people is conditional or limited. It depends on our relationship with them, and it depends on our assessment of their abilities. But let me ask you another question. Do you have someone in your life who is both trustworthy and capable? Today we continue our survey of the book of the Psalms, arriving at the 23rd Psalm, the Shepherd's Psalm. And I'd like you to turn with me to page 538 of your Pew Bible. No, don't turn to page. What page is it on yours? I think I might have a different version than you. 539? Well, I have a different Pew Bible here. That's interesting. I've got 548. NIV, are we all looking at NIVs? Okay, well, that's good. At least we got that in common. The 23rd Psalm has been called the Mona Lisa of the Psalms. I think you probably understand why. I mean, it's the most beloved, most admired of all the songs in the Psalter. I mean, it speaks honestly of life's trials, life's troubles, and it speaks confidently of God's care. In terms of our summer journey through the Psalms, it introduces a new category of the Psalms, a psalm of trust. A psalm of trust. I mean, we see this from the get-go. Consider that first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Now, is that a statement of trust? The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. A person may trust their spouse, a child may have confidence in their parents, but how many of you would offer this endorsement with him or her at my side, I don't need a thing? But the psalmist makes this bold declaration, and then using a shepherd and sheep for inspiration, lays out a number of reasons for this incredible confidence. The psalmist first talks about God's provision. I'm just working my way through the psalm. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. For the psalmist, life with God is a life where all the basic needs are covered. There is food, there is drink, there's even time for rest and recovery. I like that. He makes me lie down. I might want to work, 50, 60-hour work week. He makes me lie down. Many of us have experienced this provision. I mean, we've been told to take a break sometimes. Or think about it in terms of basic needs. How many of you have ever been in a place where the cupboards have been empty or who have had to miss a meal? Very few of us, right? As a shepherd supplies the needs of his sheep, so God supplies the needs of his people. But this provision isn't the only reason for the psalmist's trust. The psalmist also speaks of God's guidance, and that's continuing along verse 3b. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. For the psalmist, when there are questions about which direction to go or which choice to make, the psalmist experiences God's guiding hand. God helps him make decisions that enhance life, pushes him in directions that leads to life's flourishing. Most of us, I think, can say that we've also experienced this guidance. We've, by the grace of God, have dodged some serious bullets, right? Making the right turn, we've avoided traffic accidents. Making the right decision, we've escaped unhealthy relationships. Once again, it's like the shepherd with his sheep. The shepherd won't let his flock wander and get lost. He guides them for the sake of his own reputation. So the psalmist talks about God's provision, then talks about God's guidance. And then the psalmist reflects on God's protection. That's continuing along. Verse 4, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The psalmist knows what it's like to be beset by evil, to be surrounded by enemies, and yet at the same time, he has confidence amid the danger. For the psalmist recognizes that his God is a powerful protector who will never abandon us nor let us go. Have you experienced this peace, this confidence in the midst of trial? I've heard it from many of you, maybe during yet another round of chemo, or while struggling through a divorce or bankruptcy. We've all been given signs that our God is in control. And so when the wolves are howling at night, the sheep can rest with contentment, knowing that the shepherd is with them, that his rod moves swiftly and powerfully. Now, that's only four short verses, right? Seems that, according to the psalmist, God is caring for our basic needs. But the psalmist goes on. He just doesn't describe God as meeting, you know, those basic needs of safety and security, of food and shelter. God's not just meeting the minimum requirements. The psalmist is not just eking out a meager existence. The psalmist describes his life from end to end as brimming with God's blessing. And that's continuing in verse 5. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Moving from agrarian images, the psalmist takes up the image of a banquet and speaks of life with God like a party where the host keeps all the glasses full, where one delicious course is followed by another. Many of us know something of these abundant mercies. We may feel it as we're sitting in our home, looking out the window, watching the sun drop behind the hills, or maybe out in the backyard, seeing children, grandchildren, play in a little tub full of water and enjoy the sprinklers. We experience it as we enjoy homemade ice cream in the sunshine or an ice-cold beer after a scorching day. Speaking of life with God, the psalmist concludes that blessing, not ill, has been chasing after him. Wherever he goes and whatever he does, he's been hounded with goodness and kindness. The 23rd Psalm boldly declares that our God is trustworthy. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Of course, we don't always share this confidence. We aren't always singing so loudly about God's provision and protection, about God's guidance and God's blessing. Sometimes, if we're honest, we feel abandoned, overwhelmed by trouble. Sometimes we lament that, well, goodness and mercy isn't hounding me. I'm just hounded by troubles. A new one every day. Well, you can probably imagine that the psalmist didn't always feel God's presence so closely, didn't always experience God's care so acutely. I mean, it wasn't too many weeks back that we were reading Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long will my enemy triumph over me? I like to imagine that today's psalm was composed after a long, difficult journey when the psalmist has made it to the mountaintop and has stopped to pause and look back over the entire journey. I like to imagine that along the way, the psalmist had real questions about God's presence and real concerns about his own survival, but that at the end of the trip, looking back over all that geography, the psalmist can only conclude that there's just one conclusion, that God has been abundantly faithful. Commentators talk about this psalm as being the Mona Lisa of the Psalms. I mean, worthy of contemplation, worthy of dwelling on, meditating on. For it opens our eyes to anticipate and discern God's provision and protection, God's guidance and blessing, even in their apparent absence. For by reading this psalm, by singing it, by reciting it prayerfully, we position ourselves in attentive receptivity. What I mean is we find ourselves looking a little further down the road instead of fixating on all the dark shadows around us. We find ourselves anticipating daybreak even while the evening lingers. I would like to invite you to take a moment now to reflect on a time in the past, and I'm not talking about today, I'm not talking about the present, but to reflect on a time in the past when you faced some great difficulty. Maybe it was 5 years ago, maybe it was 25. I want you to think about that moment. What was happening? How were you feeling? Were you anxious or discouraged? Were you overwhelmed and afraid? Of course, you got a little perspective on that moment now, don't you? Take another look at that moment. Consider how was God present to you? Even in the middle of these troubles, how were you provided for and protected? How were you given guidance? How were you blessed? You may not have noticed at that time. In your insert at the very bottom, I have a little place called Sermon Response, My Psalm. I'd like you to take a pen or pencil. Just fill in the blanks. Make for yourself a short summary of this experience. Write your own psalm. Remind yourself how God has been present in your life. I'm just going to give you a minute now. Take this home, and if you can, stick it on your refrigerator or put it by your bedside. Maybe read this a couple times this week. as we recall God's faithfulness in the past, we will surely be given courage for the present. Amen and amen.